Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time-consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it. For some people, this is just another Sunday, the beginning of a new week. But for others, it is known as the beginning of free agency 2018. Welcome, basketball fans, back to another Business Casual Basketball Podcast. Aaron Washington back on the mic with you here. This is going to be off-season podcast number 3. For those of you who might not be tuned in for the past couple podcasts, but today is a very special day. As I stated before, it's the beginning of free agency, and a lot of big deals went down last night in the NBA. So on this one, I'm going to be solo. I'm going to discuss some of the deals with you guys here. We're going to talk about some of the basics of the CBA and how that pertains to how much money these guys can make in free agency and how everything is broken down as far as contract numbers, structure, number of years, things like that. And we're just going to get down into the nitty-gritty of the details. So if you're a numbers person, hang on. You're going to love this podcast. There's going to be a lot of numbers thrown out at you. If you're not, sorry about that. It's going to be more of a detail-oriented podcast as opposed to just some entertainment and basic storylines. So we're going to hop right into it here. As I stated, I'm by myself today. My guest could not make it on this week, so I'm going to hop on it solo. So it might be a shorter podcast, but still going to get into the details with you guys. It's going to be all about the business, as we always do. So to start off, we're going to be talking about a little bit about the overall salary cap numbers. So for those of you who might not be in the NBA loop, there's a big-time NBA reporter that breaks many of these deals on Twitter, first and foremost, and then also on ESPN, on shows like The Jump and things like that. His name is Adrian Wojnarowski. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I might be butchering it there. But he's basically a celebrity in the NBA culture for his early reporting of these big deals. Now, other reporters will come along and state the same details, but Woj, as people like to call him, breaks these deals and details first before anybody else. So Woj came out yesterday at about 8:23 p.m. With a little update on the salary cap. So the 2018-19 salary cap is going to be slightly higher than the 17-18 salary cap. It's going to be about $2 million more, so it's going to go up to $101.8 million. So basically, NBA teams have up to $101.8 million to spend before they're over the cap, and then they're in the territory of luxury tax. Speaking of luxury tax, that amount this season is going to be at $123.0, so basically $123 million. So at that point, you're getting to a territory where you're starting to be constricted, and the amount of moves you can make, the options you have to sign players, get significantly reduced. And then after that, you have exceptions. Now, all this stuff I've discussed on a previous podcast, but it was a while back, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't catch that. So I just want to do a basic overview. And if you want more details and things like this, I'm going to have a post on my website, businesscasualbasketball.com, that's going to go more in depth with some of these details. And there's going to be a whole CBA breakdown. And it's going to be multiple parts, and then part one will be dropping this week, so stay tuned for that. But until then, basically exceptions are deals that you can use to sign players, namely lower caliber players, usually. You have different exceptions. Now, the first exception is called the non-taxpayer exception, non-taxpayer mid-level, to be specific. Now, that amount is at $8.6 million this season, and then the taxpayer mid-level is going to be at $5.3 million. Now, the difference is if you're at the non-taxpayer mid-level, you're going to be below the luxury tax, and you're going to have that extra money to be afforded to you to spend. Now, if you're over the tax, of course, you're going to be in the taxpayer's territory, and you only have $5.3 million to spend. So theoretically, you're going to lose out on some of the better players in free agency because you have less money to spend. So you can't quite match up to those bigger deals that the more popular and talented players in the market are going to command. Now you get to the room mid-level exception. The room mid-level exception is at $4.4 million this season. It's another exception that's afforded to you. It's even less money than the mid-level taxpayer or non-taxpayer. And then you have the biannual exception, which by its name, you're only afforded every 2 years. So once you use that this season, you don't have it next season. You only get it in the 2020 offseason and then every other season after that. So that's basically the salary cap in a nutshell. Just wanted to put that out there to lay the foundation for everything that's going to be stated following, coming next in this podcast and then down the road as more and more deals get signed. So as of today, we have several players that have signed new deals. There's still several more players outside of that list that have not signed yet. So we're only at about 15 to 20 players who are signed. Now that we have the overall numbers out of the way,
there's still many salary cap things like that.
We start to look at the more detailed numbers.
Sign their next deal.
Sorry guys if this is a little monotonous and not very exciting. We're going to get to the big signings in a minute. I just want to lay the groundwork for everything that's going to be coming after this. So if we're looking at how much money these guys can make off of their contracts, let's look at max contracts first, because when you have guys like Paul George, Chris Paul, LeBron, KD, they obviously command a max contract. Now, in the NBA, you can't just offer a guy $100 million every year, even though most teams probably can't offer that much money anyway. You're restricted on how much money you can offer a player. Now, it's structured a little bit differently depending on how many years in the NBA you've played to this point. If you played under 6 years, 0 to 6 years in the NBA, you can only make a certain amount of money. That's going to be 25% of the team's salary cap. If you've played 7 to 9 years, which the NBA calls 7 to 9 years of service, you are allowed to take up 30% of a team's salary cap. Now, if you're even higher than that, you're looking at 35% of the cap if you're at 10-plus years of service. Now, for example, Chris Paul falls under the 10-plus years of service. He was drafted in 2005, so I believe this is going to be his coming up in his 14th season in the NBA, so he's obviously eligible for more money. Now, in the 7 to 9 year range, we have Paul George. Paul George was drafted in 2010, so he's going to be going into, I believe, his 9th season of service this season. 0 to 6 is going to be Nikola Jokic. He was drafted in 2014, so he's only eligible for 25% of the cap as opposed to those other guys who have 30 and 35% respectively. So now, if we're looking at how much money specifically these guys can make, you can only make $147 million if you get 5 years and you're under that 0 to 6 year threshold. If you're at the 7 to 9, you're at $177 million. If you're at the 206, or if you're at the 10 plus year service, you're at $206 million over 5 years. Now, this is just if you have your team has your bird rights. Now, bird rights basically means that team has full control over your next contract. You've played at least 2 seasons with that team, so they have bird rights. If you're not a certain amount of years removed from a trade or something like that, you're not able to get bird rights. So with a guy like Paul George, I don't think he was able to get bird rights unless he played another season. So he's going to get a little bit less than if he stayed with, say, Indiana. That's why people were saying when he got traded, he lost out on a lot of money last season because Indiana has bird rights. So they'd be able to offer him the maximum, the true maximum amount of money he's eligible for. But since he's not with the Pacers anymore, he can only make so much. But hey, it's not like he's missing out on a ton of money. He's still going to be rich either way. So if you're not with your team that drafted you, it's only $109 million for 0 to 6 years, $131 million for 7 to 9 years, and $153 million for over 10 years of service. So if we're looking at the difference, you're looking at $30, $40, and $50 million roughly difference. If we're looking at 5 years and we're looking at the difference between bird rights and non-bird rights. So that's quite a bit of money if we're looking at it that way. Now, when it comes to the exceptions, it's going to be, I believe I stated 8.6 before for the non-taxpayer exception, 5.3 for taxpayer, 4.4 for room, and 3.4 biannual. Now, basically adds up, you're getting into $37 million mid-level exception, $16 million for the taxpayer mid-level exception, $9 million for room, and then just under $7 million for the biannual. So that is the have differing number of years. Goes for down from 4 years to 2 years if you're in the biannual. So you can't get 5 years unless you're at that true maximum and you're one of those top-tier players. That's what we call a designated player extension. If you're a designated player, like you're a Wiggins, an Andrew Wiggins, if you're a Russell Westbrook, guys like that, you're going to be a designated player, so you can get 5 years. If not, you can only get 4 years. Additionally, if you go to another team, they don't have bird rights, they can only offer you 4 years. When Durant left the Thunder, he couldn't get 5 years from the Warriors. Now, if he signs next season, we'll get into that a little bit later, then he's eligible for five years. But that's getting a little complicated. Just wanted to lay some things out for you guys. Just so we're on the same page and we know that some of the structure that goes into signing these deals before we get into all the numbers, specifically for each player. That's just the general information. Now we get to the good stuff. So hang on. There's a lot of deals. I'm not going to go into detail on every single deal. I'll talk a little bit more about the major players that sign their new deals. Not so much for lower tier guys like Fred VanVleet or Will Barton, but Durant, Paul George, yeah, I'll spend a little bit more time on them. There's more to be talked about with them. It has bigger ramifications for their team and the league overall, so they're going to get more time on the mic, so to speak. So we're looking forward now. One last thing about the CBA. It's been said that the owner's credit line has been increased this season. So real quick, the credit line has been raised to $325 million for the owners. That's a $75 million increase. So based on the information I got from 95.7thegameradio.com, they're saying that the Warriors, they use the Warriors as an example here because they're the biggest beneficiary of this new development. They're going to dish out more than $1 billion in player salary and luxury tax combined between last season and the 2021 season. So the Warriors save a lot of money. I don't know all the details that goes into how this credit line works. But basically, in a nutshell, the owners get a little more relief from tax penalties, luxury tax penalties, and things like that. So basically, hey, they're not as hamstrung. They're not going to be hurting as much in their wallets. I guess maybe they can have more of a loan payment. I think it's like similar to a credit card. If you get your credit line increased, you can spend more money. You still have to pay a lot when it comes to payments and divvying that out and things like that. But basically, the owners have a little bit more flexibility because their pockets are not hurting as much, at least in the short term. Long term, yes, but their credit line is extended, so that's important to note as well. So maybe teams will be a little bit more eager to dip into the luxury tax. Maybe it won't scare them off as much. Who knows? Something to keep in mind. Now, for real though, let's get into the major notes of yesterday. So we're only looking at the day one of free agency. More deals are being discussed as I speak, as of this moment. There's a lot more deals to come. So this is by no means a final list. This is just who has been signed to this point. Now, make sure you guys are on Twitter. Make sure you have a Twitter account if you're really interested in following all these details by the minute in real time. Woj is going to have all the major deals. Make sure to turn on your notifications on Twitter so you don't miss anything. With that being said, let's look at the first major free agent to sign a deal. Now, this was the first one reported, and I remember seeing it announced on Twitter probably at 11:30, 11:40 last night, even before the 12 o'clock deadline. The major players, they were announced at about this time as well. So we all knew this was coming. This is not a surprise. This is a very easy development to see coming. Now, for KD, many people saw this coming. He re-signed for a 1+1. Now, basically that means he signed for 1 year guaranteed. So this coming season, he's going to make $30 million. That's up from $25 million that he made last season. And then the plus one means it's a player option. So that player has the ability next season to opt out. This is similar to what LeBron has been doing the past 2 years. He can opt out of his deal next summer if he so chooses, and he could leave, he could re-sign, he could do whatever he wants. So he's going to be unrestricted free agent if he does opt out next season, as he did this season. So that's basically what a plus one means. So one plus one. One solid year guaranteed plus 1 year that's a player option. So he may or may not opt in to the deal next summer. It's more likely that he opts out as opposed to opting in because more flexibility. He can restructure his deal. He can get more money because he'll officially have a bird right possibility on his contract. The team can offer more money so he can get the full 35% of the cap. Now, of course, the Warriors are already looking at a huge salary bill for the next who knows how many years, as long as they have that core together. So this is not going to help their checkbooks. But to keep KD happy, you give him as much money as he wants because you're looking at multiple championships, even after the one we looked at this season. So that's a no-brainer. You do that. Now, for KD's perspective, again, this is a no-brainer. This guy is coming off a championship, two straight championships with the Warriors. He's at a prime position in his career to win more championships. He still plays a prominent role on that team. He's a huge part of their success. Even though Curry might be the true engine that drives that team, KD is here to get buckets. He's here to lock up the best perimeter player on the other team, or at least the second best player. Klay may take the best player, but KD's a walking bucket. He's averaged pretty much 25 points a game his whole career. He's pulling up from three. He's pulling up from 30 feet. He's pulling up from 20 feet. He's pulling up from 10 feet. He can get buckets wherever he wants. Perfect fit for the Warriors. He's getting more adjusted to that lifestyle of working the ball around, not dominating the ball all the time. He can still go ISO when he likes to, but overall, he's going to work into that system of the Warriors, getting guys involved in catching off the, attacking guys off the catch and not just trying to put on 1,000 dribble moves and beat the guy in front of him. So, easy. There's not much to talk about there. Everybody saw that coming. He's with the Warriors for the long term. He made his decision. He wants to win championships. He's already got two. At least a couple more on the way, I'd assume, if he sticks with the Warriors another 4 or 5 years. There's just nobody that can compete with that team when he's on it. And they have Curry rolling. They have Klay rolling. They have the role players there. It's a no-brainer. So, he's with the Warriors for the long haul. Not much to say there. It's going to be, by the way, it's going to be a 2-year, $61 million deal to stay with Golden State. $30 million this season, probably a little slight raise if he opts in next season at about $31.5 million. Not much to say besides the, KD's there to stay. He's not going anywhere. Now we get to the big news. This is the one that people did not see coming. Now, Paul George re-signed with the Thunder for 4 years, $137 million. Now let's think about this from Paul George's perspective. He's coming off of a first round out, got beat by the Utah Jazz and their prize rookie Donovan Mitchell. He had options. He could stay with the Thunder. He can go to the Lakers. He can go to other places. I mean, he could have tried to sign with the Sixers. Sixers had plenty of cap room. Why did he choose the Thunder? I'm thinking maybe he didn't want to deal with the bright lights of LA. We all know it's very demanding in a city like New York, Philly, Boston, and Los Angeles. If you don't win, you're going to get thrashed and trashed by everybody. You're going to get thrashed and trashed by pretty much anybody that's not a Laker. You're going to be hated. If you're not winning championships, you're not doing it right. You're not fulfilling your role there. So that's maybe one reason. Maybe you didn't want to deal with that kind of pressure in LA. Paul George strikes me as the kind of guy that doesn't want to be the number one option. He likes being the second guy. If you go to LA before LeBron is committed, before the Lakers have worked out any kind of trade for Kawhi, maybe they don't get either of those two guys. Maybe it's just Paul George and the young guns. And in that case, Paul George is the number one fiddle again. He's the number one option. Everything goes through him. Maybe he didn't want to deal with that. I'm not sure. But that's the vibe I get from Paul George. He likes being number two. Number one, he did that in Indiana. It didn't work out the best for him. You know, lost against LeBron. Took some L's in the first round. So he bore the brunt of the blame there. And I don't think he likes that. I don't think he likes dealing with all that pressure and backlash if he does lose. When you're the number one guy, it comes with a lot of responsibility. And I don't think he was up for the challenge. Not trying to bash PG-13 here. I love him as a player. He's a great guy. Phenomenal player in this league. Going to be for a long time, but that's just the vibe I get from him. Who knows? Another possibility, maybe he just loves Westbrook that much. KD obviously didn't like Westbrook, didn't like the way he dominated the ball, and maybe his demeanor of maybe just a killer. But Paul George sees that in Westbrook, and he likes that. He likes a guy that's just going to be like, hey, no nonsense. I'm going at your throat if you're the opposition. Likes playing with someone with that much passion. Appeals to him, obviously. If he didn't like playing with Westbrook, if he had a problem with him, he would have been gone. Easy decision to go to the Lakers or Philly. But he's sticking around, so him and Westbrook probably form some kind of bond. They really like each other. They like playing with each other. Westbrook likes having a guy that can play off the ball, catch and shoot, that he can dime to. Paul George likes having that guy that can get to the rim, takes pressure off Paul George. He can drive and kick, just be a destructive force in offense, and can be pretty solid on defense if he really gets the effort. So those are the possibilities. Now, most people thought that if PG did re-sign with the Thunder, he would have re-signed for 3+1. So 3 guaranteed years and then opt out for the 4th year. That's what he actually did sign. Most people thought he would have done a 1+1 like KD did. If he did a 1+1, that would have put him at free agency right at his age 30 season. Or a 2+1. So he's 28 right now, 2 years with the Thunder. He would have been 30 years old, and then he's eligible for that 35% max because he would have had 10 years of service. At that point, he could have been making an astronomical amount of money. We're talking about maybe $246 million, something like that. It's crazy how much money he left on the table by doing a 3+1 instead of a 1 or 2+1. So that's what's most surprising to me and other people, is that he left all this money on the table to stick with the Thunder, who might not be able to crack the armor of the Warriors or the Rockets. Maybe not even the Jazz. Maybe the Jazz are still better than them. Who knows? Because the Thunder is so capped out, they're basically going to have to bring back the same team. So that's something to keep in mind. PG is going to make $30 million next season, goes up to $33 million the season after that, $35 million in 2021, and then $37 million at the last year of his deal, where he's 31 years old. Then he'll be unrestricted after that. So if we're looking at the Thunder's overall cap sheet, you got to look at how much money they're spending. It's pretty astronomical. I've seen some numbers thrown around on Twitter. Twitter's the GOAT, social media. Can't even debate that, in my opinion. But I've seen $300 million coming out of these numbers here, which is overall salary plus luxury tax penalties. Because the Thunder are in the repeater tax territory. They've been in luxury tax for at least 2 out of the last 3 seasons, which puts them in that territory where they're incurring extra penalties, where they have to pay even more money than they usually would. So if you're looking at $300 million bill coming at you after this season, that's rough. They re-signed Jeremy Grant as well. Which is only about $27 million over 3 years. So it's not that much money. Or $21 million over 3 years. Not a lot of money, but every dollar adds up when you're talking about luxury tax. So a dollar becomes $1.75, $2. So add that up over millions, yeah, you're gonna get hit hard in the wallet. So Melo accepted his player option. He's going to be at $28 million. That's brutal. He has a no-trade clause plus a trade kicker. So, I mean, he's just... Melo's got all the control here. That's just crazy. Steven Adams is still making $24 million. And Westbrook is in his Supermax extension. So he's going to be making $35 million this season. So add it all up, and that's a lot of money. That's quite a lot of money. Ultimately, they're looking at $155 million before tax penalties. So, hey, that's just the game you play with when you have top-tier players on your team. They'll deal with it, and if they get a second round out of it, maybe it's worth it. Thunder are going to be a great team once again, probably going to win 45 to 50 games. Going to be fun to watch, but their ceiling is pretty apparent. They're not going to beat the Warriors. They're not going to beat the Rockets. So, it's a tough sled for the Thunder going forward. But congrats to PG. He got it all set up and done. The first night of free agency, didn't waste any time. That party was quite something. Him and Westbrook had a great time last night, and that's great. They're great friends, and they should work really well on and off the court. That's awesome. But PG hopefully doesn't regret this down the road. If he keeps losing in the first round or the second round, he gets disgruntled. He's not going to have an option to get out of there for 3 years. So that's the risk he's taken, and hopefully pays off for him. Now we're going forward. We're looking at CP3. Now, CP3, man, I was very excited initially for this deal because we know how good the Rockets are. We know how close they were to beating the Warriors, number one seed in the West. Chris Paul had a great season at age 33. He was phenomenal. He put up great numbers like he always does. He's super consistent when he's healthy. But this is a risky move for the Rockets. Not because he's not worth it now. It's because he might not be worth it in 2 years, 3 years, when he's going on to be 34, 35, 36. I doubt he's going to be like LeBron and show no signs of aging. He's going to slow down pretty soon here. And the effects of slowing down are even worse for a point guard. It's been said for a long time that if you're a point guard, you lose the quickness, you lose the agility, you lose the vertical. You're a lot less effective because your height becomes more of a hindrance towards your production on the court. He's only 6 feet tall. He was never a Westbrook above the rim player to begin with, so maybe that bodes well a little better for his future, but Chris Paul's going to be hurting, no doubt about it. Now, as far as the details of his deal, it looks like it's 4 years and $160 million. Now, if we're looking at this from the Rockets' overall cap sheet perspective, right now they're at $117 million. That's without Ariza, of course, because he left. I will get to him in a second. But his deal is $160 million. His base salary, he's going to be starting at $35 million. That increases to $38, then $41, and then the last year of his deal, he's going to be at $44 million at age 36. Now, that is dicey. CP3 might be an okay player by then, but he certainly won't be worth $44 million. That's almost a guarantee. So, brutal. That's the kind of money you're going to be paying Steph Curry and LeBron James, and he's just not going to be at that level. So, going to be interesting to see how he ages and how much of that production he's able to maintain as he goes forward and how the Rockets build around them, because at that salary and James Harden's salary and Clint Capella's incoming salary, they're not going to have a lot of flexibility. So if you can't get the players at free agency at a price point that's able to fit within the Rockets cap sheet, then they're just looking at the same team for many years. And it's only going to get worse because their players are in their prime now, but they're going to be out of their prime pretty soon. So not great going forward for the Rockets. Now, this signing loses a lot of luster for me due to the departure of Trevor Ariza. First of all, what is this guy thinking? He was on a team that was number one seed in the West. They won over 60 games. They lost in 7 games to the Golden State Warriors. Everybody talks about Golden State being a dynasty. You have a chance to overthrow that dynasty. Not by no means, this is a sure thing. They could lose again. They could lose in the second round. Who knows? But to have an opportunity to beat the dynasty that could go down as one of the greatest runs in NBA history, oh man, I'm sticking there no matter what. And it's not like he would have had to take $1 or $2 million. The Rockets could have offered him a taxpayer exception, something like that, so he could come back at $5-6 million, which is, it's a lot less than the $15 million he got from Phoenix. But man, the opportunity that he had, the role that he played a vital role for the Rockets. He got a lot of minutes. He was a starter. He had a prominent role. He did great things for the Rockets. He was a perfect fit in the Daryl Morey, Morey ball system, pace and space, all about the threes, all about the free throws. He was just a perfect fit. And now he just broke the Rockets because we really think about this. The Rockets improved substantially defensively And Ariza is a big part of that. I took the opportunity to look up some numbers on NBA.com/stats, and it really has, it describes Ariza's impact perfectly in numbers. Now, instead of describing this and breaking down film, which I obviously can't do on a podcast, I'll just tell you some of the numbers. Now, if we go to the advanced stats and we look at the on and off numbers, basically the difference between the player being on and off the court, how the numbers change. Now, we're just looking at defensive rating here. Ariza provided them a 105.3 defensive rating when he was on the court. Now, I filtered it by playoffs because in the regular season, it's like, you know, there's lapses in effort and a lot of variables and things like that. We got to look at the playoffs because this is where it really matters. This is where you play the Warriors, you know, things like that. So, 105.3 defensive rating when he's on the court, right? That's really good. If you're any lower than maybe 107, you're a pretty valuable defensive piece. Now, if we break that down a little more, and we go to off court, it's going to be minus, let's see here, I got the wrong player. So Trevor Ariza is at 102.8 defensive rating when he's on the court. When he's off the court, that plummets to 113.7. So that's the amount of points you're giving up for every 100 possessions that the opposition has. So 113 over 100 possessions, that's huge. What's the difference in those two numbers? 10.9, specifically minus 10.9. Because when your defensive rating goes up, you're worse as a team, right? It works inversely from offensive rating. So put that in context, the difference between guys like Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon, defense gets 4.5 points better when he's off the court. Gerald Green, 7.9 points better when he's off the court. Joe Johnson, 13 points better when he's off the court. The only guy that can even come close is, surprisingly, James Harden. 7.4 points better on defense when he's on the court. So Ariza has the biggest difference between on-court and off-court defensive rating in the playoffs on the whole Rockets team. And they lost him. Think about that. They lost their starter. They lost their best defensive player, arguably, their most versatile defensive player. He can guard Klay Thompson. He can guard Kevin Durant. He can guard Draymond Green. He can even guard some slower guards, you know, ones and twos. Centers, he really struggles against the centers, but basically 2 through 4, you're set with that guy. And he's gone. So I if I'm Houston, I'm just devastated. Because you were this close to beating the Warriors just a few months ago. 7 games away, you're bringing back the same team that you came up short with, minus Ariza. So just doing the math there, you're not going to beat the Warriors. It's a done deal. Your absolute ceiling is the Western Conference Finals, if you can avoid the Warriors until then again. So I'm sorry, Rockets fans. I'm really just hurting for you right now. I'm sorry for your loss. It's disappointing to me as well. Even though I'm not a Rockets fan, it still hurts me. Now for the Suns, it's a huge get. Because now you can play Ariza with Devin Booker and Josh Jackson. Very switchy lineup. 3 great tall wings. Got some great shooting. Josh Jackson's inconsistent, but Ariza and Booker are excellent from range. And you got a lot of opportunities there. So Ariza's role is going to be greatly reduced with the Suns, which sucks for him. He's going to play a lot less minutes because they already have a ton of young guards. Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, TJ Warren, Troy Daniels, and Mikal Bridges. You can't forget about a Mikal Bridges that they traded for, got him from Philadelphia in that draft night trade. So a lot of young guys got to eat. And even though Reese is making $15 million, the young guns got to eat. The young guns got to get their experience. They got to get their runs in. So, I was very surprised to see this deal. I'm more surprised by this maybe than the Paul George deal. It's close, but it hurts me. I want to know what you guys think. Drop some comments if you're listening on iTunes or SoundCloud. What do you think about this deal? Did you make the right decision, or do you just really blow an opportunity to create something special with the Houston Rockets? Best of luck to him in his new role as the Godfather of Phoenix. We'll see how that works out for him. Now, we're getting into the Joker. We got to look at the Joker with the Denver Nuggets. Now, the Joker is a very versatile big man. He has a great three-pointer, he has a really great handle, and he can pass. Three traits that in today's NBA get you paid. And guess what? He got paid. Big time. So we're looking at his salary here. Now, Jokic is going to make $146 million over 5 years. So he's getting that full Bird Wright extension. He's only at about 3 years of service, so he can't make the absolute maximum. But for his years of service, he's getting as much as he can possibly get. $146 million, I'm not complaining. Give me the 5 years, give me my money, and we're straight. We're good. I'll ride it out with you. So Jokic is a key part of this Denver Nuggets team going rising the rankings. Missed out just barely in the playoffs last season. They're right on the cusp. They win a few more games. If Paul Millsap comes back healthy, if Jamal Murray comes back improved, Gary Harris, they got Will Barton back. The sky's the limit for the Denver Nuggets here. So I love the direction they're going. They got great young players. Jokic is only going to get better. You know, he's not that old. He's coming off of a fantastic season where he was almost an all-star. Triple-double machine. You know, he can get on the boards. His defense is the only part of his game that's a really glaring weakness. He's pretty slow-footed. He doesn't have a lot of lift on his jumps. So he struggles with quick guys. He struggles with the extremely talented players in the NBA. But overall, I mean, if he can just play his role somewhat well, he can just contest at the rim, he's doing his job. So for the amount of offense you get from him and the amount of possibilities you have, you can run him as like a point center, run him off the elbows, have him do a little dish and dime action, no looks, run the back passes. That's worth it to me. He's a great shooter as well. He's a lot of great footwork. Could get in the post and bang with some guys and has a lot of great hook shots and things like that. Oh, yeah, I'd take him all day. So it's a lot of money, but he's going to be worth it. And, I mean, his age, that's a no-brainer. You got to do it. I want to say he's only 24. For some reason, I can't find his age on here. But very young player. Very young player. So that's a no-brainer for Denver. Not much else to say there. Denver's got a load of potential. Tons of potential up there. Mile High City. And Jokic should continue to improve, and he should be well worth his deal, which we can break it down a little bit more if we want to look at exactly how much he's getting each season. So for Jokic, he's going to start at $25 million this season for his base salary. Goes to $27, then $29 in year 3, $31 million in year 4, and $33 million in year 5. So he's unrestricted in 2023 at age 28, where he will be able to get another, I would assume, five-year deal. So he's going to be set pretty much his whole career if he continues on this arc, this trajectory that he's been on for quite some time in his career. So continuing on to another kind of funny development here. DeAndre Jordan looks like he's leaving the Clippers again. Now, if you remember, a few years ago, there's this whole debacle, this whole situation where he got locked into his house in LA. He told Dallas that he was going to sign with them, changed his mind after this confrontation style meeting by the Clippers, basically an intervention. They came in and said, hey man, we got a chance to build something special. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Doc Rivers, JJ Redick, come on back, man, we could do something special here. He said fine. And he got locked into that contract, and he's the last man standing from that, now it seems like a forever ago, where that Clippers team was very, very, very competitive here. So, big change here for the Clippers. They're going in a completely different direction now than we've seen the past few years. They're really going to be kind of rebuilding here. They don't have a ton of flexibility as far as their cap goes. But, I mean, they could make some moves. They have some things they can do here. So DJ goes to Dallas for 1 year. He's going to get $24 million, which is the same amount of money he would have got with the Clippers if he'd opted into last year of his deal. So Dallas finally gets their center. If you remember from my draft preview podcast, I was saying that Dallas should have went after Mo Mamba. They did not. So they still had a gaping hole at center. They had no one really substantial to fill that void for them. But now they do. So DeAndre Jordan comes in. He feels the need for him. They got a center. So now we're looking at a projected starting lineup in Dallas of Doncic, Dennis Smith Jr., Harrison Barnes, Dirk, if he returns, or maybe they bring someone else and bring Dirk off the bench, who knows, and DeAndre Jordan in the center, manning the paint. So that's a fantastic lineup. The fun factors could be out of this world. Doncic is going to find Jordan. Jordan's going to get a lot of opportunities. He's a guy that thrives off of the easy pocket passes and lobs, and he's going to fill that role perfectly there. So DSJ is going to find him. Doncic is going to find him. DSJ is a great athlete, so he should pair well with Jordan. And we know Doncic is a savant when it comes to just handling the ball. So DJ's going to have opportunities to eat down there. Harrison Barnes is no scrub. We know what he can do. And they're going to be set. So get your league pass ready for this next season. Make sure Dallas is on your list of teams to watch. And make sure you got your popcorn ready. It's going to be a show in Dallas for sure. DJ is going to have plenty of opportunities down there for sure. So I'm going to just kind of quickly run through some of these deals. That pretty much does it for the big-time deals, the big free agents that have currently signed. We still have Capella. He's trying to work something out with the Rockets or possibly the Lakers. DeMarcus Cousins is trying to work something out with the Pelicans. He's coming off an Achilles tear, so that's going to be something to watch. Aaron Gordon. I can't believe he's only 22 years old, but he's a restricted free agent, and he has a chance to either re-sign with the Magic or sign an offer sheet with another team. If you're a restricted free agent, another team can try to sign you, offer you, get you an offer sheet, but even if you sign the offer sheet, the team that has control over you, which in this case is the Magic, can still match that contract, so you come back to that team at that deal. We have guys like Julius Randle, Marcus Smart, J.J. Redick, Derek Favors. So keep it locked. On the next podcast, I'll break down some of those deals. LeBron James, obviously, is still out there as a free agent. He hasn't made a decision yet, but we'll definitely dive into that when the time comes. He's made his decision. Now, I should also note, should have mentioned this at the beginning, but it is July 1st, so free agency is open. However, the moratorium is still in effect until July 6th. So under that rule, under that period of time, you can actually sign with your team. You have to wait till July 6th, and then you can actually commit. Put the pen to paper, make it official. For now, it's just commitments. That's what we saw with DeAndre Jordan in years past. It was like a commitment, verbal commitment. It's not solidified yet. So we got to hang on, make sure these are official. But, I mean, 99% of the time, they're official. Players don't change their mind very often. So just a couple more deals to look over here. To finish this up, Will Barton, back with the Nuggets on a pretty good deal. It looks like it's a pretty hefty amount of money, for at least for a guy like him. If you remember, this guy was making minimum money with the Trailblazers not too long ago. So he's back with the Nuggets on their upward trajectory. He's going to be making $54 million over 4 years. So that's pretty good. Of players who came off the bench in more than 40 games last season, Will Barton was tied for third with 13.7 points per game. So the guy can get buckets off the bench. He can come in as a starter. He can do it all. He can handle the ball. He can get to the rim. He's become a much better shooter over his career. So great signing for the Nuggets. That's a no-brainer. His market probably wasn't that huge this summer. I know the Pacers are trying to sign him, but when the cap situations are as tight as they are this offseason, you don't have many options. And I'll go into that a little bit in the next podcast as well, talking about this market that's very narrow today based off of the results of the 2016 offseason. There's still a lot of big, bad contracts out there, so teams don't have a lot of flexibility, and there's only about three or four teams with cap space. So when that's the case, You have to take what you can get, essentially. You don't have a ton of options. So, last deal I'll look at here is Fred VanVleet. VanVleet is an essential part of the Raptors' rotation. He is one of their best bench players, probably their best bench player, coming off his best season of his career, where he played a major part for them, both offensively and defensively. And he was in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. So a guy like that, you really make it a priority to re-sign. Someone that's made such huge strides in his career, is such a tough player, and is such a hard worker. You got to keep him around. So for Fred VanVleet, he agreed on a 2-year, $18 million extension to stay with the Raptors. So he's going to be hanging around for at least 2 years. He actually shot 41% from three last year. It was only his second season in the NBA. So this guy still has room to improve. He's not that old. He's very young, only 24 years old. I want to say he was a four-year college player because it's only his second year in the league and he's 24. So he probably played 4 years of college, which did him a lot of good. He's come in and been a great contributor right off the bat in his career. So good stuff for VanVleet. Glad to see him back with the Raptors. And the Raptors cap sheet is going to be a little tight. Of course, you got DeRozan, you got Kyle Lowry, but as long as they don't want to blow it up, they're going to be a great team going forward in the next few seasons. DeRozan signed for quite a while, and Lowry still has many years on his contract. So, great value signing for the Raptors. You got to find the value signings where you can when you're a big spending team like they are. So, those are all the major deals. There's a few more I didn't mention, but they're pretty insignificant. Guys like maybe Aaron Baines sticking around, Doug McDermott going to the Pacers. Not going to change the trajectory of that team a whole lot. They're good, solid signings. Should bolster their benches a little bit, give them a little bit of leeway, a little bit of insurance when it comes to guys that can play, injury insurance, things like that. But that's pretty much going to do it, guys, for this free agent overview, a little CBA overview. Thanks for taking the time to suffer through some of these the numbers and things like that. Of course, we can get into some of the other minutiae like off-court stuff and how guys like to interact and how they work off the court, but this is mainly about the numbers. This is Business Casual. We break it down $1 at a time. That's a slogan I like to adopt going forward, $1 at a time. That's how we're going to do it here. That's our slogan. So appreciate it, guys. I'll be back with a guest next week, so you won't have to listen to me ramble for 45 minutes. The guest should be great. Might be an old-time guest. Bring it back for another podcast. It might be a new guy. Who knows? You have to stay tuned. I'm going to leave it a surprise for you guys. But that's about going to do it. Be sure to tune in next week. We have another podcast. We're going to be breaking down narrow market of free agents this summer, as well as Summer League. Some of the big storylines for the 2018 Summer League that starts as of this podcast tomorrow afternoon. And then some of the other signings. Well, LeBron should have made his decision by this time next week, hopefully. So we'll break that down and see how it all works out. So I appreciate everybody for taking the time to be with me once again. We'll be coming back at you real soon, $1 at a time. That's how we do it at BizCastle Basketball. Take care. We'll see you next time.